As we've already heard, we are celebrating harvest this year, which is a time when we're remembering how much God has given us and thank Him for that. We're remembering it this year by tying it in with a focus on justice and the refugee crisis. Now, we all know that children start speaking by saying simple words like mama and dada, and then not long after that, they learn to say things like mine or no. But there's another phrase that is just as universal, which follows a little while later, and that phrase is, it's not fair. I wonder how many times you've either heard that phrase or used it yourself. It's just not fair. Might have been a cry following an incident at school. It might have been a feeling you had when you weren't picked for a team, or when you were wrongly accused or ignored at work, or some injustice from a council or government official. There is a longing inside all of us for justice, for someone who will treat us in a right way, and consider our case, whatever it is, with fairness. We want someone who will not shout at us, but rather respond to our situation with firmness and gentleness, but if necessary, ensure that those who've wronged us get exactly what they deserve. And this is a constantly repeating theme in the Bible. In fact, the idea of justice comes up an astonishing amount. Again and again, God speaks through the prophets about the importance of justice, of fairness, of looking after the people who aren't able to speak up for themselves. So to pick just one example, about 800 years before Jesus, Israel was actually enjoying a long period of peace and prosperity. But not everyone was benefiting. A huge gulf had opened up between rich urban elites and the relatively poor farmers who created the wealth in that predominantly agricultural society. Wealthy landowners were using financial tricks and a corrupt legal system to expand their wealth and their power by bankrupting small farmers. And so a farmer named Amos goes to Bethel, which was one of the most holy sites in Israel, and prophesies against all this injustice. And Esther is going to come and read what God says through him. This is from Amos chapter 5.
Okay, so this is Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living.
Thanks, Esther. I said earlier that this longing for justice is instinctive in all of us. Even if it fades or if we suppress it, nevertheless, it's instinctively within us. And that instinctive desire for what is fair is more than simply an attempt to make sure that we ourselves come out okay. Let me come back to children, because children have a very acute sense of justice, of what is fair and what is not. And although sometimes it's about justice for that child, very often children will be the first to speak up against what they perceive as injustices for other people. I can quite distinctly remember a time at primary school, when I got into trouble for something with the deputy head teacher, Mr. Smythe, and another boy who wasn't even my friend, in fact, if anything, just the opposite, stood up in class and said, "Mr. Smythe, that's not fair. Ian didn't do that." So why does that happen? Even if that outrage at injustice sometimes gets rather dulled as we get older, how is it that we start off at least with that sense of what is fair in us? It's because of the way we were made. Every person on this planet has been created in God's image. That means that every person is of equal worth to God. And instinctively, we know that. But even if we do know it, we forget so quickly. The limits of what justice requires shrink so quickly to our own lives, our own interests, our own communities. And that's exactly what happened to the people of Israel. A few decades after that prophecy by Amos, in fact, as a direct result of what God had been condemning them for, Israel was attacked and defeated by other nations. They were taken off into captivity in Babylon. And now they were filled with a longing for justice. But the justice that they were focused on, that they had in mind, was focused entirely on themselves. So God decided to challenge them to stretch their understanding of justice, to reach beyond their own comfort zones. And he sent another prophet called Isaiah, who talked about a servant who could fulfill that longing for justice. But this servant would bring justice not just to Israel, but to all nations with faithfulness and gentleness. Here's what he said. This is from Isaiah 42.
Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 7. Look at my servant, whom I strengthen. He is my chosen one, who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. He will not falter or lose heart until justice prevails throughout the earth. Even distant lands beyond the sea will wait for his instruction. God, the Lord, created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks the earth. And it is he who says, I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by the hand and guard you, and I will give you to my people, Israel, as a symbol of my covenant with them. And you will be a light to guide the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons.
Thanks, Esther. Now, there are lots of ways in which we can apply that call for justice to the world in 2015. Many of us will have experienced, been involved in campaigns like Make Poverty History, or Stop the Traffic, or Fair Trade, and there are plenty of others, all of them dealing with huge questions of social justice. But our focus today is on the refugee crisis. And I use that term, the refugee crisis, with some hesitation, because there has never been a time when there have not been wars and conflicts which have torn apart homes and families and communities and whole countries and caused people to flee for their lives. There has always been a refugee crisis. The only reason we've started talking about the refugee crisis is that for the first time since the Second World War, it's directly affecting Europe. It's actually touching us and our way of life. Just to set this in context, there are currently just over 7,000 Syrian refugees in the UK. That's about one refugee for every 9,000 people in the country. Now, the government's plan is that we will take a further 20,000 refugees from Syria over the next 5 years. So that would take it up to one refugee for every 2,000 people in the country. Amid lots of questions about whether this generosity would compromise national security or put homes or jobs or benefits at risk or even endanger our religious freedom. Let's compare those figures with another country, Lebanon. We heard about Syria and Iraq in that video earlier. Well, Lebanon is another country that neighbors Syria. And although it's had more than its own fair share of conflict over the years, Lebanon now has more than 1.1 million Syrian refugees. That is more than one refugee for every four people in the country. That is not justice. And that's why at our harvest meal after the service, which, as I say, will be a fairly simple meal of soup and pudding, there's going to be an opportunity to give to the work that is being done by two different organizations to bring a level of justice to refugees. We saw the work that was going on with Open Doors in that video. And in fact, we're going to hear more of their work in a few weeks because Barry Hughes, some of you will know, who's another minister in Peebles, he has actually just been out to Iraq with Open Doors, has got some really moving stories to tell. And we hope that we're going to be able to get him to come and talk about that trip soon. So we're going to split the offering at the meal between Open Doors and BMS World Mission, our mission partners who are working in Lebanon, amongst other places. One of the things I really like about BMS is that although BMS has its own workers, like the Kiwis, working throughout many countries in the world, including Lebanon, BMS very often works with local partner organizations. I hear them talking about this more than any other mission organization. It's really about saying, we are not going to parachute in and pretend that we know best. We're going to find local Christians who already know the situation and what is needed, and we're going to help and resource them. So if I can quote from last month's BMS news release, through our partners in Lebanon, BMS has been providing food aid, blankets, heating for the cold winters, and safe spaces for refugee children to learn. Churches in Lebanon are playing a key role, and BMS is proud to support workers helping both Lebanese and Syrian families coping with this crisis. That's one important way in which we as a church can show our thanks to God for all that he's given us this harvest. We've looked at God's passion for justice. We've seen that justice has to apply to everyone, no matter how different or strange or unattractive they are to us, or how inconvenient it is for us. There's one final point, though, that I want to make today, which is that God doesn't actually offer us justice. He offers us more than justice. Because the servant that God foretold in that reading from Isaiah did indeed come, and his business is about bringing justice to the nations, justice to all who've been wronged, bringing sight to the blind and release to captives, and good news to the poor and freedom for the oppressed. But the rub is in that phrase, justice for all who've been wronged. Because the person who has been wronged the most is God. And the people that have wronged him is us. It's me and you. And in that situation, justice would be us taking a punishment that would actually mean our deaths. So is justice what we really want? But as I say, God offers us more than justice. He offers us mercy and grace. Because that servant, whose name is Jesus, met the demands of justice by suffering and dying in our place, by taking the punishment that we deserved. Jesus, who was himself a refugee, fleeing as a small child from the authorities in his home country. Jesus, whose trial at the end of his life was a travesty of justice. Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, and who calls us to work for justice in this world. Let's pray just before we call the children back. Our Father, thank you that you care so much about justice. And we are moved by the injustice of so much of what we see in the world around us, and in particular at the moment, for those who've been torn away from their homes and communities and countries. And Lord, we also know that we, by what is just, deserve so much less than what you actually give us. Because you give us love and forgiveness and mercy and grace. And Lord, for those who are here today who don't yet know that forgiveness for themselves, I pray that you would work in their hearts today and confront them with justice versus mercy. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.